The following interview was recorded for CFRO The Pulse, Vancouver Co-op Radio's daily news show. The Pulse airs Monday to Friday at 7 a.m. on 100.5 FM and streaming live at coopradio.org. The Eastside Culture Crawl is among the largest visual art festivals in North America. 25 years ago, it was also the first such event organized in Canada. Starting with just three buildings and only a handful of artists, this year's crawl will feature more than 400 artists spread out over 55 buildings in East Vancouver. Esther Rosenberg is the executive director of the Eastside Culture Crawl Society. In late October, I spoke with her about this year's Culture Crawl. Hello, Esther, and welcome back to Co-op Radio.
Oh, good morning, James. Great to connect with you.
It is indeed, yeah. It's always a delight to speak with you, Esther. So, the Eastside Culture Crawl, A, is it open? And B, I understand it's celebrating a pretty significant anniversary this year.
Yes, we are definitely open this year and really would like to get the word out. I know that people are wondering that very question, as I've had so many people come up to me and ask me, are you open? Are you open? And how are you doing it? So rest assured that we have taken in all of the health and safety directives from, you know, the provincial health authority and have put them in place. You do have to show your vaccination passport and you do have to wear a mask. But other than that, we are open and artists are, you know, really excited about opening up their studios once again. It's been a long haul and over a year and a half, although we did have a version of the crawl open last year, it was smaller than what we normally put on because we were full on into the pandemic. This year, it's we're still in the pandemic, but we're able to circulate a lot more. And if people are able to go to hockey games, they can definitely come to the Culture Crawl. And we are celebrating 25 years, which is no small feat in and of itself. We did start off with just a handful of artists and three buildings at the time, 25 years ago. And it's grown to be, you know, a major visual arts festival. And when I talk about visual arts festival, it's one of the first of its kind in all of Canada, because there's, you know, dance festivals and film festivals and jazz festivals and all kinds of festivals. But we're really groundbreakers in the sense that we developed a visual arts festival. And now you see other people doing that as well in terms of photography and murals and what have you. But really, we were breaking the ground in terms of a visual arts festival. And I would say that that's been extremely successful for the visual arts community and also for the public, who many of them, it's their first sort of step into the world of the visual arts, and they're curious. They might not know a lot about the visual arts, but they certainly feel comfortable coming into the studios and learning about the art making process and what, you know, the stages that an artist goes through when they're developing their artwork. So certainly a level of intrigue and curiosity there. And also, you know, wanting, you know, further knowledge of how do artists create the works that they do. So this provides them with the firsthand knowledge and connection and exchange with the artists.
How has the Culture Crawl changed over the years? You mentioned there were only, how many buildings? Three buildings back 25 years ago?
Yeah.
And can you tell us a little bit? Is the changes really just in the growth, or have there been other changes over the past 25 years?
Well, there's changes in the growth, to be sure, in respect to how many buildings are participating and artists participating. At our peak in 2019, pre-pandemic, we had 500-plus artists, and we had about 80 buildings. We have lost a number of buildings, which also, you know, contributes to loss of artists participating. We are back this year with some 400-plus artists and 55 buildings, something like that. So there's definitely been a change in the growth. The audience have grown. And in 2019, we counted 23,000 people at Parker Street and did a rough count of other studios. And there were about 45,000 visits to the crawl that year. We don't don't anticipate such a large crowd this year, given, you know, people's comfort levels with the pandemic. But I do anticipate a bigger crawl. We have added to the festival programming. We've added preview exhibit, which is quite extensive. This year, it's representing 85 artists. They're exhibiting at The Cult, which is an online show. And there is also the Pendulum Gallery, which is on site, and that's downtown. We're showing at the Fire Hall Art Center and also at Alternative Creations Gallery, which is over on Venables. So you'll get a taste of what you're going to see at the crawl. We've added a curated catalog, which there's about 120 artists who are included in that. And that gives you a really good sense of the breadth of mediums that artists are working in and gives you a good idea as to what you're going to be seeing at the crawl. We've also added virtual artist talks, and we thought about going back to doing the talks in person, but we actually found that we get a greater audience response being virtual. And that could have been just because of the pandemic, but the number of people who sign on virtually, and of course you can keep track of that in terms of attendees, it's far greater than if we do the talks in person. So we've continued to do that virtually. And then we have Moving Art, which is video and film shorts by artists working in that particular medium. So we've added quite a bit of programming in advance of the crawl. We have a preview weekend for the studios, which is by appointment. And so that's a little bit more controlled for people who might feel uncomfortable coming to the open studios the following week. We also have what people don't see is a program called Studio 101, which is an educational art making workshops that we provide free of charge to students at KPAY, Britannia, Seymour, and Strathcona School. So we take in anywhere from 150 to 180 students, and they usually come to the artist studios. So that's quite a treat for many of the students because they've never been in an artist studio. So they're pretty intrigued about the outing into these funky little spaces. And then they get to create something that they get to take home. And that's something that the public doesn't see, but it's always been a feature of our event and something that we do just a week following the actual culture crawl.
So how many artists approximately are participating this year, and how did that compare with last year?
Sure. We have over 400 participating this year, and we had about 250 last year. As you can well imagine, you know, artists are people on the planet as well, and they too had concerns about the pandemic and fears about, you know, getting COVID, and so there are many artists who decided not to participate. There were some buildings that were closed because it was just logistically really, really challenging to open them up, and that would be Parker Street. So we did see less artists participating last year because it just wasn't realistic and logistically so complicated that we couldn't open, or certain buildings couldn't open last year.
But I presume Parker Street is going to be open this year, is that right?
It is open, absolutely. And there's a lot of artists at Parker Street.
Yeah, I think on the website I saw 122 listed something like that, which sounds fantastic. So now I still want to try and get clear the difference between the preview weekend and then the open house weekend. So
sure.
Can you walk me through that again?
Absolutely. I do want to make it clear. So the preview weekend, which happens which is the Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, the 12th, 13th, and 14th, it's by appointment, and you can book the appointment online. It's very user-friendly, very intuitive. And what that means is that not all of the buildings are open that preview weekend, just some. So you really need to check that out and ensure that not only is that building open, but also if you're wanting to go and see a specific artist, that they're open that weekend. because not all artists are going to be open on the preview weekend. So you really need to double check that. But what that does is put a limit and put a cap on the number of people allowed in the building, and they're allowed in there for a time period. And so, for example, in, you know, a smaller studio, it might be 20 minutes and they only allow 10 people in at a time or something like that. I'm just, you know, throwing out some possibilities, but so it's a bit more restrictive. And for people who are feeling uncomfortable, you know, being around a larger crowd, this is the perfect opportunity. We really have, in planning the festival this year, we really tried to take everybody's concerns into consideration, and, you know, both the artists and the public, and allow for all kinds of possibilities so that people can continue to connect with the artists. The following weekend is what I call the Crawl Classic weekend. So it's the free-for-all. The studios will all be open, and there are some caps in some of the buildings, but they're quite generous. You might have to wait. There will be the processing time in respect to checking the vaccine passports and, you know, that kind of thing. So you can't just come along and go directly into the building. There will be both volunteers and staff around to ensure that people entering in the building are double vaccinated and are wearing masks.
Right. And it should be clear, too, I presume, that everyone who attends is going to have to be double vaccinated and be able to show their BC vaccine passport and wear a mask, correct?
That's correct. It's no different than anywhere else that you're going. You really have to, you know, these are the protocols that are keeping us safe. And, you know, we've seen the numbers now for the first time starting to go down. So I think the efficacy of what we're doing seems to be proving itself. And I'm hoping, you know, in 3 weeks' time, it's going to be even better news. That doesn't mean that we let our guard down. So we will be, whatever the protocols are by the health ministry, we definitely are abiding by them and ensuring that both, you know, our artists are safe and that the public is safe. We want everybody to have a good time and to be really comfortable.
And I presume the same rules apply for the preview weekend and the open house for those who are exhibiting out of their own homes. Like, I know in Strathcona, there are a number of artists who, you know, they open up their living rooms to and their studios in the back of the property. So obviously the same thing still applies with them too. So they'll be responsible for checking the people who come in and putting a cap. And obviously we need to respect the wishes of the artists too, if they start to feel a little overwhelmed.
Yes. With the smaller buildings, the situation is a bit different. It's sort of more up to the artist as to whether they're checking the vaccine passport, because the number of people in the spaces are quite small. They definitely have to be masked. So a little bit of a different situation with the smaller studios because of the smaller capacities, kind of similar to going into a store where you don't have to show your passport if you're going in and purchasing, you know, things at the grocery store.
What have you been hearing from the artists participating? How are they feeling about opening up more this year versus last year?
Well, It's been quite exhilarating, actually, because the last couple of weeks we've been pulling together our collateral materials, our map and posters and postcards and all of that. So artists are coming in and picking up these materials, and I have to say they're super excited. It's been a long time since they've opened up their studios and had a number of people come through. It's something that a lot of them really look forward to every single year. And last year, of course, it was really, you know, quite limited. And also last year, since the start of the pandemic, so many artists lost a lot of the possibilities that they had in respect to workshops and, you know, presentations and artist talks, and all of that sort of vanished quite immediately after the pandemic hit. And a lot of them have not necessarily recovered. And some of those things are coming back on and being reprogrammed or rescheduled. But many things are pretty much gone. And of course, artists haven't been able to travel, and many artists like to do that. And that's where they get inspiration for some of the work that they do. They also exhibit internationally and nationally, and those things close down. So I think that the world for visual artists, as like anybody else, you know, living during the pandemic, really, really closed down in and around them. So they really do, you know, thrive and look forward to the comments and you know, comments that people are making and the reactions that they have to the work that they're presenting. It really helps them and it really feeds them. And it's part of the process of creating, is to have feedback from the public attending. And so they're definitely looking forward to that.
Are there new artists who are going to be exhibiting for the first time this year?
Oh, yes, there are. There's actually, I think the last count was about 60. So really looking forward to seeing that work. We've had some changeover in terms of artists in the various studio buildings that we're familiar with. And of course, that some of that came about naturally in terms of some artists are retiring, and some artists really couldn't afford to keep their studio spaces going because of the pandemic and the loss of revenue generation opportunities. So we've seen, you know, some changes in people who had been around for a long time and have moved on. But we're seeing a lot of new artists who are younger, emerging, incredibly keen, and some really, really exciting work. And some of the work is pandemic related, or a lot of it could be that. It doesn't mean that it's all about wearing the mask, but it's sort of the impact that a pandemic has had locally, nationally, and globally on everybody. And that sort of gets expressed in different ways. And some of it, you know, you look at and it's quite literal in terms of, you know, seeing masks and in the pieces, and the others are a little bit more nuanced in the way that they might represent the pandemic and the impact that that's had on all of us in society in general.
That's really great to hear, actually. I'm just thinking, because I know you and I, we've talked about the loss of artist space a few times over the years, and that's always dispiriting, but it's always great to hear that the creative impulse in people, it's really tough to tamp it down, and it's great that people are still going to come forward and show us what they have.
Yeah, I really, you know, what I love about the arts is that, you know, artists are just so resilient, and they just keep coming back and presenting new work and, you know, seeing things in a different light with a different perspective. And it's just, to me, it's really exciting. I, you know, this time of year, we're looking through, you know, developing the curated catalog. We're looking at the website, we're checking it. So we get to see a lot of the work in advance of everybody else. And it's just super exciting for me just to see the, you know, all of the creativity that's gone on over the last year and a half during these pandemic times. So exciting that I've already acquired a few new pieces, where every year I say, of course not, Esther, you're not getting anything more. There's just no room. But, you know, it's like, if it's not a painting, well, how about some furniture then?
Well, with that in mind, do you want to share with us any artists in particular? I don't want to say you want to favor one artist over another, but are there any in particular that you're really excited about that you'd like to go see?
Well, you know, I'm just excited about all of it, to be perfectly honest. I do hope that people come out to some of the smaller buildings. There's some great work happening at Rathstone Studio, which is a lot of 3D work that's happening there with Ken Clark. Also, Vancouver CoLab, which is over on Victoria Drive. That's the There's a lot of furniture and woodworking going on there. There's a number of artists, of course, who, you know, given that it's the 25th year, are, you know, continue to be a part of the crawl. And so I'll mention some of those names, David Robinson and Georgina Lohan and Richard Tatro and Arnt Arntzen was in the, there at the beginning with Panificio Studios, which was a building that I used to be in as well. And Richard Tatro, I think I just mentioned him. So yeah, there's a lot of people who have been there from the very beginning.
So where can people find all this information and book their tours and learn about all the events and so forth?
Well, we recently redeveloped our really comprehensive website, which is a massive undertaking, as you can well imagine, because we don't have just a landing page. We have, I don't know, 600-700 pages with all of the artist profiles. So it's a pretty complicated site. And so it's theculturecrawl.ca. And it's pretty easy, I think, and fairly intuitive. You can find artists by their names. You can find artists by buildings. You can find artists by medium. So there's a lot of filters there. And it's really easy to see the artist's work on that site. And so you can plan it. You can plan your visit from the site. But as I've always said, a lot of people start off with the best of intentions and a great list of these are the artists that they want to see. And they enter a building and see the first artist on their list. And then something catches their eye. And off they go down what I call the rabbit hole. Because they see some other work that intrigues them and go, what is that? That's really quite interesting. And they hardly ever get back to their list, although they do get to some of their favorite artists.
Yeah, but that's a lot of the fun too, isn't it? Just coming across something and that sense of serendipity and discovery. That's what makes the crawl so exciting, isn't it?
Absolutely. It is that sense of discovery and just not, you know, not expecting something that you're seeing. And I find that myself, even though I've looked at probably, you know, every single artist on the website, when you see the work in person, it's quite different. And then when you get an explanation of why this work is like this, or it's such a different experience and a different way of seeing. And I know sometimes, you know, I have my own particular tastes, and oftentimes I might sort of walk by a particular artist's work and go, oh, I'm not really, that's not the art for me. And then I have a conversation with the artist and find out that it's, you know, a lot more complex and a lot more intriguing than what I initially, you know, thought of the work. So, you know, take the time to have the conversations with the artist, because you will find that there's a great deal of depth with every piece of work that's been produced.
Is there anything else about this year's crawl that you'd like to let people know about that maybe I've neglected to ask you?
Well, you haven't neglected to ask me, but I just want to encourage people to come out. It's a pretty exciting event. We're back, you know, 110%. We really have put in place a number of safety protocols to ensure that your, you know, visiting the event is a very safe activity for you and your friends and your family to attend. So really look forward to seeing you coming back this year. And there's a lot that artists have to offer this year.
So remind us one last time the dates for the crawl, the two weekends, and where the website address where they can find all the information.
I will do that. So we have open studios by appointment Friday, November 12th to the 14th. So Friday, Saturday, and Sunday of that weekend. And that's by appointment to the building, not to an individual artist studio. And then we have what I call the classic open weekend. So that's November 18th to the 21st. And that's Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And of course, bring an umbrella.
Yeah.
And if you don't have an umbrella, we do have our 25th anniversary edition umbrella that will be for sale. So if you somehow forget or lose your umbrella, which is the case for me always, you can always purchase an umbrella at a reasonable price, and it goes towards supporting our various art activities.
Yeah, thank you for reminding me. I'd forgotten all about the umbrella. And yeah. Anyway, right. Esther, it's always a delight to speak with you. And thank you very much for joining us here again on Co-op Radio. I know I say it every year. I say it to my friends ad nauseum. The Culture Crawl is my Christmas. This is the cultural event in Vancouver that I look forward to. 364 days out of the year. I can't wait for it to start. So it's great that you're back, and I'm looking forward to diving in myself.
Thank you, James. And it's always a pleasure to connect with you and have a conversation and connect with your audience. Really, I'm honored to be able to do this. So thank you.
That was Esther Rosenberg, Executive Director of the Eastside Culture Crawl Society. This year's Culture Crawl begins this Friday, November 12th, with an appointment-only preview weekend, followed by the open house weekend running from November 18th to the 21st. Head over to culturecrawl.ca for all the details. CFRO The Pulse is brought to you by the Local Journalism Initiative, a program funded by Heritage Canada and administered through the Community Radio Fund of Canada.